Keller. Thank you both for coming in this morning. Let's kind of step through, first of all, because even though it was, and it's been discussed before, but you didn't actually bring the wind ordinance to a board meeting to have an open discussion about it until Monday, was that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Get closer to the microphone, would you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, but it has been publicized. Where can people find it?
The ordinance is on the county website. If you just go to the website, we have kind of a jump-off page there with the ordinance, and we have an email account set up where people can make their comments. And we've received probably 30-some comments in a few weeks, so evidently we're doing a pretty good job getting the word out there, and heard some of those comments aired publicly on Monday for the first time.
And we'll get into those comments in a little bit. So from that point, where do you go? When do you bring it back to the board for a final vote?
I'll defer to the chairman.
Yeah. Their original thought process was to bring it back next Monday morning. But with some things that we've heard and some different comments, we believe that that's not going to be attainable. And then so we're going to probably look at that first Monday in July.
First Monday in July. Okay.
Yeah, that's tentative what we have set out. Now, we'd like to do it faster than that, but as life works out, I'm going to be gone for basically 2 weeks during that time frame.
Okay. In putting this together, and again, roll it back a few months when this came up, and then somebody's interested in putting windmills that would provide wind power for Morgan County, and they're needing property. Either one of you want to jump in. Did you have anything in front of you? Was there any ordinance? Was there anything that controlled this?
Yeah, I guess if we're going back in the Wayback Machine, you know, we have an ordinance that was approved by the board in May of 2009, and it was very much a boilerplate that a lot of similar counties to ours were putting together, basically a cut and paste expedition. And I think we probably cut and pasted pretty well, but frankly, you know, we only had the thought of, you know, one developer coming to town, and I think things were pretty hot at the time because of tax credits and this and that. And when the one developer who was kind of kicking the tires a bit left the area, we frankly, you know, kind of thought they had fallen a bit out of favor. And then here, what, 3 or 4 years ago, kind of got some interest again. Things were picking up, obviously, with some of the things the prior state administrations had done with, you know, the push for renewables, 20% by 2020 or what have you, kind of came back into focus. And frankly, you know, the technology had changed a great deal, and our ordinance had become pretty antiquated. So we've had to revisit a lot of that. You know, not only from the standpoint of, you know, the size and mass of the turbines, but, you know, making sure that, you know, just a heavy construction project like this, that we take care of the roads and the culverts and make sure people can get where they need to go in a, you know, in a rural setting. So we've had a lot of work to do, and it's taken a while, but we're at the point now where we think we've got a pretty good ordinance, and most of the comments we're getting are not really focused on the things that we've got to tie up. I mean, obviously everyone has their own interests, but the county's got a lot of due diligence involved as well.
Is a lot of it more procedural than anything else?
A lot of it is procedural, and a lot of work in our ongoing communications with the road district chairs and what our county engineer does with those folks, and just making sure everything is put back in a proper fashion.
Mr. Zeller, for you, what's been the biggest challenge? As somebody who has had to look at this, has impact maybe on your property and on neighbors' property, what's been the biggest challenge for you?
Well, of course, the biggest challenge is weighing both sides of the issue and trying to come up with a fair document for everyone. We want to protect the landowners, and we want to protect the non-participating landowners. And those two groups of people have very, very difference of opinions on how this should proceed. So, you know, that is the key, trying to strike it won't be a happy medium, but mm-hmm. to get a document that does protect both sides of that equation.
Now, Bloomington, they have them all over the place or around there, McLean County. You can't just simply take their ordinance and say, here, it works here.
We looked at it. We have that document in front of us. And in the new document, I would back up and state that the revision of this ordinance was taking place prior to the development group coming in, because the reason the interest was reignited, so to speak, is because of the Ameren transmission line. They have to be able to get rid of the power. So that is what sparked the interest. With that line coming through, the county understood that their document was 10 years old, basically, and we needed to do some updates. We looked at other ordinances that had fees and things that we didn't have in our document, and there was some corrections that needed to be made. So we had started that process prior to any wind developer coming in. When they did come in and we started having a lot of interest in it, then the process became more complicated, because then we understood that we had to do things correctly, and that's where we kind of got bogged down.
And you folks, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not picking one wind company over another wind company. They're negotiating separate from the Morgan County Board. They're not going through the board to talk to property owners, correct?
Correct. We have had no professional dealings with the wind group. That the leases and stuff are strictly with the individuals.
We've heard a lot from folks who don't like it, do like it, discussing it. What say the wind companies? What do they say when they look at your wind ordinance? Have you heard any feedback from them?
excuse me. They're not crazy about everything we put in it, but frankly, you know, we don't expect it to be, and our obligation is not to them. It's to the citizens of Morgan County and keeping things going, maintaining, you know, the quality of life that people are looking for here. And it's a tough ordinance, particularly, I think, if you've seen some of the recent publications, you know, what we're proposing setback-wise, the developers, frankly, aren't real happy with, but they understand the nature of the community that we live in, and people have strong feelings, and they've dealt with that before, so we haven't had a lot of feedback from them, but obviously I don't think they've ran off just yet, so they're evidently not too upset with us.
And the setback, that's not an easy call to make, is it?
That's not an easy call to make. The difficulty, like we heard in the public hearing Monday, is everyone wants the protection of property rights, which, you know, we certainly all understand.
And the which, by the way, is referred to in some respects as NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Exactly. And as you're aware, Gary, in dealing with the city for so long, you know, the easiest way to protect property rights is with the mechanization of zoning, which nobody really wants. So it's kind of, it's a tough, you know, double-edged sword to protect property rights when you can't use the easiest tool out there at your disposal. So we have a site permitting ordinance that we're trying to get through, and it's not easy. And like the chairman said, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with it, but the board has put in a lot of time in trying to consider, again, the participating and the non-participating landowners, and it's a tough job.
You're doing this with wind. Don't you have to look at other sources of energy? Is this going to be applicable if solar wants to come in and do something? If I don't know what the next technology out there is.
We have got some solar projects in the works right now. There was a state lottery, and there have been preliminary awards made there. Based upon some of our, at least preliminary discussions with folks in the legal industry, we don't feel as though we have clear authority to cite solar the way that we do. I mean, the statutes are very clear about wind.
Hmm.
If we had a zoning ordinance, now, of course, we could dovetail solar into it, no big deal. And we're kind of treating them as a special use right now, and the developers have all been great to work with. But frankly, you know, they don't have to deal with us if they don't want to. Now, you know, of course, they're not nearly as obtrusive, and most of those folks are very glad to have them, and the neighbors probably aren't going to mind anyway, but we don't feel like we have the ability to regulate that right now.
And you mentioned zoning a couple times. Does this wind ordinance work without zoning? Does it need zoning? Does it need to be incorporated in an overall zoning plan?
It doesn't. Some folks felt there was a gray area, but I think, help me out, Brad, 3 weeks ago, a new public act was passed because of some ongoing discussions, and the new law is quite clear that counties with or without zoning have the ability to regulate wind energy conservation systems. So couldn't be any clearer. We didn't feel like there was any doubt anyway, but now, I mean, there's definitely no doubt that we have the ability to do that without zoning. So,
and I would think solar would take up a wider area. I would think that some cases might be more obtrusive than...
In some ways, in that you can't, you know, with these turbines, you know, you've got a large concrete pad, you can still, I'll let the farmer speak to this, you can still farm around them, but with solar, you're right, I mean, you're out of business.
243-4351. Let's take a break, come back with more, and talk maybe more about the specifics of the wind ordinance back after these final messages. To talk about the wind ordinance, what role beyond the initial passage of the wind ordinance does the county board play from this point forward? You pass the wind ordinance. Is there an advisory council? Is there, and why is that needed if that's in place?
You want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
The way we've got things set up, Gary, is that we'll have what we're calling a plans commission / zoning board of appeals that will kind of hear a public hearing whenever we get an application from a developer. They'll kind of hear that application and, of course, hear from the folks who support and may not support it. They will make a non-binding advisory recommendation to the county board. And at that time, the county board will take that under consideration. I think we've got the parameters of their timeline set forth in the ordinance. Then they'll ultimately make the decision, you know, whether to approve or disapprove.
Who makes up the advisory council?
We've got five representatives when we get to that point appointed, and we've got them scratched down on paper at least, so we're almost to that point.
Five just people from the general?
Yeah, kind of got an at-large group with a kind of a variety of interests who I think will be a big help, and will also be there for us on subdivisions and, you know, things we've done in the past, subdivision reviews and different projects like that.
So you've got actually, instead of, I guess what I'm getting at is, instead of saying, okay, the mayor of Jacksonville has to serve on, whoever that mayor is, you've got people identified.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
And Andy has no interest in serving. I've already tried to get on the
course. I was surprised this question didn't come up earlier. Any commissioners or their family been offered or signed a lease with wind company? How do we find out who has signed up? Brad?
No. The answer to that question is no. So how do you find out? All the leases are documented at the clerk's office.
So you can go in there and find out who's got what and,
yes,
and where and whatnot. So it's strange for me, and I guess I'm having trouble getting my head around it from the standpoint of basically you have a private company coming in to negotiate with a private landowner. And now you say the state says, yeah, you have a reason to be involved to regulate this. But how far does that regulation go to the county board?
We have no involvement in the leases, period.
It just has to meet the setback standards.
There is a list of bullet points that have to be met through this ordinance. Mm-hmm. And that is just one of the many obligations that they will have.
Yeah, if you can think of the ordinance, it's almost like an application checklist. Whenever the county board receives a formal application, that will kind of serve as a, like you say, a bullet point for what a developer has to meet in order to move forward with the project.
So the wind company would come in and say, okay, here's what I want to do. And you say, much like they do with the plan commission for Jacksonville,
sure,
City Council, whereas somebody wants to come in and do this, they literally go through a list of, I don't know, 10, 12 things that, okay, you have to have this amount of setback, you have to do this, has that been fulfilled, has that been fulfilled?
Same thing here, except it'll be about 300 things.
Really?
Yes.
That many?
It's very, very extensive. But that's not to say that we're being unfair. I mean, these folks are in this business are used to it. There's a lot of these things are procedural issues with the state of Illinois, Pollution Control Board, Department of Natural Resources, things that, you know, you know, the county board really, you know, we couldn't change if we wanted to. So,
how much of the ordinance involves with returning the property back to its previous state? In other words, if windmills decide to be pulled out?
We have an extensive decommissioning article within this document. Also, the state of Illinois created the Ag Impact Mitigation document that is required to be put in all ordinances now, and it also considers decommissioning and what has to be done, and we have got extensive language with that amount of, whether it be a bond or a letter of credit or escrow, we can and choose any one of those three that we will require the developer to put that financial assurance back for potential failure or potential of the park not producing energy anymore. So, I mean, that was covered in the old document. It's more extensive in the new document.
And how much of the wind ordinance pertains to access for repairs, how soon something needs to be repaired? You know, if you had a windmill that's been sitting there and it's not been operating properly, and does the county board have the right to go to them and say, hey, look, this thing needs to be operating if you're going to use it?
The board does. There's a remedy section, I guess you would call it, in the ordinance that kind of outlines a process that if someone sees something or it's reported that something is inoperable, that there are steps that the board could take to kind of remedy those things.
I got a question about setback off the air, we can talk about setback here. The question is it right setback based on middle of residence and not property line? I'm not sure what they're indicating.
That's a big consideration in the project. Right now, the way the ordinance sets forth, it takes a look, draws a setback from the foundation of the home, and
not the edge of the property, not
correct.
The edge of the yard, not the edge of, you know, maybe you go 300 yards to the east, but it's from the foundation of the home.
That's correct. And there's also a 1.1 times fallback zone from the actual property line. So if the tower, I think we've got them capped at 600 feet, you're talking another 660 feet from that property line as well. So, but right now, I think the question's probably pertaining to, right now we're talking about the foundation of the home.
And that's based on previous experience with other?
That's based on most of the ordinances we've looked at. That's the way that it's been addressed, yes.
And setback continues to be one of, for lack of a better term, hot button items, right?
Probably the hot button item.
And when you say foundation of the house, that's not outbuildings.
No, that's
actual living
quarters. The primary
quarters.
Structure.
Okay. So if you've got a house and somebody wants to put it up, it has to be. And what is the distance? Do you know?
Right now, we're talking about a distance of 1,320 feet for participants and 1,500 for non-participating.
You don't get into birds and impact of the turbines as they cross the sun and create shadows.
Do you really?
We don't get into the birds, but there are many studies done on the area that had to be done for bats and the travel of migrant birds. Those studies are done and already completed. So the developer will be obliged to try to remedy some of those situations if there is an endangered bird or species in the area. So those studies have been done. As far as the shadow, the flickering
of sound,
the sound is addressed. It's two different issues. It's in two different sections of the document. The excuse me. The sound is gone off the guidelines created by the Illinois Pollution Board, and there will be tests done for each turbine site that has to meet their qualifications. The state has given those guidelines to go by on the sound. On the flickering, we have put no more than 30 hours of shadow flicker per year. If it exceeds that, then they have to do, they have to mitigate it. Now, if you look at 30 hours per year, that's 5 minutes a day. And that is 5 minutes a day, considering that the sun shines all the time, 100% of the time. So if the sun shined 100% of the time, the document restricts any more than 5 minutes a day.
If there are any complaints after these windmills are built, do they go to the Morgan County Board? Where do they go?
I believe the way we've got it laid out is there will be a toll-free number. It will be the obligation of the developer to reach out to the county board, and there's a series of steps that have to be taken there. Most of the time, I think things will be pretty easy to work out, but there are some parameters in the ordinance that if it gets a little bit messier, that the board will have to get involved, of course. So.
Okay, and again, this is available
online at morgancounty-il.com.
And the current plan is to have final approval on July 1st.
That is a tentative, tentative plan. I mean, the way this document has, in time, has evolved, that's, you know, we can't guarantee that, but that is a tentative plan.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you for coming by.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jim.
It. Thank you. This is WLDS Jacksonville's 11 o'clock.